Let us sing Psalter 61, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. My sins and faults of youth, and let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 61.
To read out of God's holy and precious word from the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 34, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus 34, the first 17 verses. And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou art a most holy God. The animals themselves were not permitted to come and to feed upon that mount, who had never sinned against Thee. But Thy holiness is so very, very great. And it is a wonder that we are permitted to open our unclean and sinful lips before Thee and to attempt to approach unto Thee. For Thou knowest what lives in the heart of each and every one of us. Thy servant did say from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Wilt Thou open unto us what our sin is, that we may receive eyes to see it, and a heart to mourn for it, and a desire to return from it, that we may be reconciled to Thee, a true, the holy, and the good-doing God. Remember this friend. Lord, he has stood now before each and every one of us to say that he has done wrong before Thee. Oh, that Thou would wash him, that Thou wouldest cleanse him, that Thou wouldest take it all away. Oh, that Thou would open unto him what his wretchedness is, that thou may also show him that only Savior by whom he is able to be forgiven, washed and cleansed and reunited unto thee. Remember him with his fiancée, and when they hope in this week to be married, in that bond of holy matrimony, O Lord, go before them and grant them to look forward to this day, and when in all according to thy institution they may be united in that bond, and that thou wouldst bless them therein for this life and for a life to come. O teach each and every one of us to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee. Give us a place of true mourning, of true sorrow, that we might know what our guilt and our sin is. O bless thy word to that end, that we hope to bring in this hour and in the weeks to come. Lord, thou knowest all of our needs. We are so blind. We need our eyes to be opened. We need our heart to be opened, as the heart of Lydia was opened, that she may attend unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And to whom else shall we go in this hour? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And if thou would but speak one word, Lord, then we will be stopped upon our journey, where we are fast hastening, without concern by nature, for the need of our poor, never-dying souls. Oh, we go over this world as those who have not a care, as those who do sleep on the top of a mast. Oh, wilt thou awaken us unto our state by nature, and what we are in thy most holy sight. Wilt thou take in also from among us into that blessed covenant that thou hast made with thy dear Son, and with the covenant that thou makest with thine own elect through him, all that he may be necessary for us, that he may be suitable to us as our surety, to pay all our debt and to cast it into the depths of the sea and behind thy back, where it will never be seen by thee anymore. O Lord, thou dost clothe thy church in a robe of righteousness, in a robe of great purity, so that there is nothing left in thy holy sight of all the iniquity and all the transgression. Oh, could it please thee to give unto us desires in our hearts, that we, while it is called today, may also be partakers of this great blessing, the forgiveness of all of our sins. Wilt thou remember all the needs and the cares among us? And then we think especially of the unborn child, yet in the womb of his mother. And thou knowest all the concerns, and that the doctors may already discover. And thou knowest all the preparations that are being made to care for this child. And Lord, thou knowest what man is able to do. Oh, it is nothing, except thou givest him wisdom, that thou givest him skill. O Lord, and other children, and they are born, even in the family, well-born children, and upon them will lay this trial. Wilt thou uphold and strengthen them under it? And wilt thou sanctify these callings? Wilt thou spare the child And wilt thou give that it may yet be a child born to be born again? And wilt thou remember all the afflicted, all that have troubles, cares, and concerns in this world? O, our sins do show forth themselves in all the consequences here below. O, give help from above, and thou who art full of compassion, even to those who have sinned against thee. Be with us in this hour. Strengthen us for a moment, and that we may do the labors that thou hast placed upon us. We beseech thee, O Lord, for thy presence, and for thy help, and for thy blessing in the midst of us as a congregation, because we cannot miss thee, not one of us, not from the youngest unto the oldest. And if we are left over to ourselves, then we work out our own destruction. O Lord, wilt thou think upon us, have thoughts of mercy, and wilt thou convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and that thou wouldst take us all, and by heart and by hand, and for thy own account, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 6 through 11. In evil we have gone astray, and sinful is our race. Rebelliously our fathers walked, forgetful of thy grace. 6 through 11 of Psalter 290. beloved congregation, we read that the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. That is something. For the things which belong unto our peace to be hid from our eyes, because every one of us has a desire for our own peace. But the Lord Jesus says that the things that belong to our peace, the things that are related to our peace, they are the things that we do not see. They are hid from our eyes. That is, it is as if we go over this world as persons who are blind, who are not able to see the things that belong unto the things which are most dear unto us. We indeed look about us. We indeed look for our own welfare. We look for our own peace. But we do not recognize the things that are related to it. We look in the wrong place. We look here for it and we look there for it, and therefore we do not find it. That is not because those things that belong to our peace are not preached unto us, but he says, because you do not know them. He says, because you do not believe them. If thou hadst known, even thou, he says, at least in this thy day. What is this thy day? The Lord Jesus speaks to the Jews about the day that he was among them. He calls this their day. That is a very special day. That was not a normal day. That time, those 3 years, they were not the same as all the years that the Jews had as a people. No, they were a special time. That was their day. It was a day that would never come back again. Once that day was gone, it was a day of opportunity. It was a day of great privilege. But the Lord Jesus is weeping because he says that day is fast going away from you. And when that day is gone, then that opportunity will never come back again to you. Those things which belonged to their peace, they also belonged to the peace of a Saul of Tarsus. He was also among them, but that was also hid from his eyes in that time. He did not see it, though it was declared unto him. What were they, those things that belonged to his peace? Well, Peter spoke about them. He says, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Thus they were the things of the Lord Jesus. They belonged unto the peace of the Jews. They belonged unto the peace also of Saul of Tarsus. They belong to our peace too. Do you believe that? Do you believe that they are the things that are related to the thing that is most dear unto your soul? Do you know the things that belong unto your peace? Saul did not know that. Saul did just the opposite. He persecuted him. He persecuted that way. He persecuted the followers of that way. But it did not stay that way. Because later, Paul himself said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, even Jesus Christ. You say, that is different. That is altogether different. How is that there is such a change in this man? He had been blind to the things that were belonging to his peace. He saw no beauty in him, but that was no longer. No, his eyes were opened for those things so that he may even preach these things. How did that happen? You say the Lord stopped him. The Lord stopped him. And when the Lord stops a person, what happens? Then the Lord shows him something. He opens his eyes. And what does he show him? He shows to him his sin. That is what he showed to Saul of Tarsus, his own sin. A very religious man who lived in all good conscience. We can read that he testified later, and the Lord showed to him his sin. And then afterwards, Paul, he says after that, he says, then the Lord revealed his Son in me. That is, he opened his eyes to see how his sin could be forgiven. Thus, there were two things. That the eyes of Paul needed to be opened for, that we do not see, that are related to our peace, and that is in the first place our sin, and it is in the second place, because when a man's sin is open to him, all then his eyes may be opened for his sin, but then he does not see how his sin can be forgiven him. Thus it is another opening, an opening of blind eyes. Or as your minister, then we have a desire that every single one, from the youngest to the oldest, may know the things that belong unto our peace, at least in this thy day. What is that, thy day? That is our day of opportunity, a day of opportunity that is fast hastening away. We began the summer, boys and girls, young people. Look forward to that, right? We began it together, but we don't know if we will end it together, because we don't know what a day may bring forth. Do you ever think about that? Because the old must die, but the young can also die, and they do also die. And then that day that belongeth unto our peace, that is quickly hastening away from us. In congregation, no minister can open the eyes of anyone else, but the Lord can. And the Lord does do that. He does that still in our days. How does he do that? He uses means to do that. And what are those means? Then Isaiah, he was told by the Lord to cry aloud, to lift up his voice like a trumpet, and to show unto his people their sins, and unto Jacob their iniquities. Thus, he had to speak. Why was that? For the condemnation of the people? No, that was for their salvation, that they might know their sin, that they might acknowledge their sin, that they may confess their sin, that they may be forgiven their sin, and that they might find peace, that true peace for their soul. And now it is for this reason that we hope to begin a little series that is about sin. You say, why do we want to speak about sin? It is because we say, how can we be of a profit to our flock? How can we be of a profit? What is now the first thing that has to happen in our life? Oh, then we need to become a sinner before God. And therefore, it is our hope and our prayer that when we may consider together in the weeks to come what God's Word says that sin is, that we may take this to heart. Oh, let us then go to our places. Let us meditate upon what sin is. Do we want to be converted, young people? Oh, do you long that you may also receive what God's people may receive? Oh, then we need to know who we are in the sight of that most holy God, and that there may be room in our heart for His only begotten Son. To begin this series, our text is taken this afternoon from Exodus chapter 34, verse 7. Only these words, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So far the words of our text, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. But today, then only the first part. That is, for today only, forgiving iniquity. Forgiving iniquity. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to see something what this is. So our theme, that is the same, forgiving iniquity. First, iniquity. And second, the forgiveness of iniquity. Jeremiah's congregation had to pronounce the judgments of the Lord upon the people of the Lord. And then the Lord said to him, when you preach to that people, they are going to ask you a question. They are going to ask you, what is our iniquity? And what is our sin against the Lord? That the Lord is pronouncing all these judgments against us. That is, they are going to ask you, what is it, Jeremiah, that we have done wrong? What is our iniquity? You ever ask the same thing? You ever ask the same thing? What is our iniquity? What is our sin? We are so little acquainted, congregation, with our sins. And now Jeremiah was commanded to instruct the people. He was commanded to say unto them what their sin was, that they might know it. And now the translation of the Holy Scriptures is a very difficult work. Because there are words, there's language, and language is always tied to the culture of a people. And of course, that was not written originally in our language, that was written in the Hebrew and in the Greek language. And so what the Hebrews and the Greeks may understand by a certain word in their language, that is not always so easy to bring over into the English language exactly what all the meaning is that is contained in that word. We have the same thing with the Dutch language. Then we say, well, we can say that better in the Dutch, or we can say that better in the English. And thus we have the Bible that is written in the Hebrew language, in this case in the Old Testament. And then there are words that are being used, the Lord giving those words unto His servants. And they had all their meaning with all their implications in the lives of the Hebrews. And that is not always coming out in that single English word. and therefore that needs explanation. What is now the sin that the Lord declares here that He forgives? Because it says in our English language, forgiving iniquity. What is that? That word iniquity. That is in the Hebrew, avon. Avon. That implies perversity. It implies something that is crooked, something that is twisted, that implies something that is depraved. And that word, whenever it is found in the Hebrew Bible, is sometimes translated differently, but most of the time it is translated into the English language by the word iniquity. Sometimes different. We know that there were the four lepers. They were outside of the city at the time that the enemy came, and then the Lord destroyed the enemy. And then they went to take those spoils for themselves. They hid those treasures. And then suddenly one of them says, "Oh, we do wrong. We do wrong. And if we keep going in this way, some," it says, "mischief will come upon us." And that the word mischief is the same word, avon, that is iniquity, some iniquity, some twisting, some perversion. In other words, when we keep going in this way and we think it is going to go straight in this way, no, there's going to be a twist in it. Something is going to change. There is going to be some kind of a turning. That is the word avon. Job, he said, "Is there any iniquity in my speech? Is there any avon in my speech?" He said, "Is there any twisting? Am I twisting the truth with my words? Am I perverting the truth with my words? Or am I speaking the truth?" That is the sin of iniquity, the sin of avon. David says that I was upright before Him, and I kept myself from my avon. I kept myself from my iniquity. I kept myself from my perversion, from my depravity. David said to Jonathan, "What is mine iniquity? What is my avon? What is my depravity that your father is seeking to kill me? Have not I been a true man to your father?" Indeed, he was to Saul. But that does not mean that the iniquity, the avon, the perversity that lived in David's heart was not known unto the Lord Himself. David says that himself. He says, "O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for," he says, "I have done very foolishly." Take away my perversity. When was that he said that? He said that after he numbered the people. He numbered the people. And then after he numbered the people, then we know, we read that his heart smote him. Smote him. Did your heart ever smite you because of your sin? His heart smote him because of his perverseness, of the twisting that he did when he numbered the people. What was that? Well, don't read that all. It was all, we see that all by implication, don't we? Maybe he says, "Well, I need to know the number of my soldiers." Ah, yes, David. Do you really need to know the number of your soldiers? When he went to number those people, oh, there was something else, wasn't there? There's something else behind it. There was something else underneath it. It was a perversion. It was a twisting that was living in the heart of David. And David was asking the Lord that he would forgive and take away and that depraved heart. You remember what David said to Uriah? Uriah, he said to Joab, send him to me from the battle. And when he came there, then he begins to ask Uriah, so how is that battle going? You are now the messenger from the army, and you are giving the king the proceedings, how it is all going. That is by implication the purpose that I have called you, that I might know what is happening in that battle. Then he said, that is good. You now go to your house and wash your feet. And he sends him a mess of meat from the king. But it was perverted. It was all twisted. And where was that twisting? That was in his heart. And that was also coming out. Maybe some people could see that. Maybe many other people did not see that. But the Lord knew what that was, that twisting, that perversion, that iniquity. We go down a path of perversion. Well, it's not easy to come back. It's not easy to stop. And then he sends a message to Uriah. No, he sends a message to Joab. Put him in the forefront of the battle. Message come back. Uriah is dead. Oh, Joab. Oh, do not be discouraged. Make that battle more strong, because one falls as well as the other. So David, iniquity. It is perversion. It is perversion of the truth. It is because there is another thing that is lying underneath. It is another sin that is lying underneath. That was also the other sin he had committed. That was the sin of adultery. The Bible speaks about the sin of fornication. You can read how the Lord warned Israel. They're going to go into Canaan. Then the Lord says, I'm going to drive them out of Canaan for you. I'm going to go before you. And why? Why was that? There was a judgment. There was a judgment upon the people of Canaan. And why the judgment of the Lord? Because the Lord says their land is defiled. And the Lord says, I do visit their avon. I do visit their iniquity upon them. I do visit their depravity upon them. He says that land itself will vomit them out because of the depravity of that people of Canaan. And then the Lord gives a whole list. He gives a list to the children of Israel of all the sins, especially the iniquities, the depravities of that people of Canaan, their perversities. And then we can read how that they are in a special way related to sexual sins, adultery, fornication. It was found right in Eli's house, right among his own sons. Among the priesthood, who are laying with the women, who are assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the Lord. And Eli warned them. He warned them, but they would not listen. Will we not listen? Will we not listen when we are warned? That is a merciful thing, to receive a warning. When we will not listen, then it is going to come back to us. And then Eli himself was guilty of what? Oh, he was also guilty of avon. That is, he twisting. He perverts the very priesthood of the Lord, and he honors his sons above the Lord, that they may remain a priest when he should have thrown them out of that priesthood, and he had to smart for it, we would say, for his own sin and his family. And then the Bible speaks more about these perversions. It speaks even in that time about incest between members of the same family, of that same household. Great perversions of all the institutions of the Lord, even of bestiality. That is, he says, confusion, the overturning of very nature itself. Speaks about transgenderism that we hear of so much today. You say, was that already in the Bible? It was. We read that so clearly in the clothing that the Lord says, you may not wear as a woman the clothing of a man. You may not wear as a man the clothing of a woman. Because the Lord will not have our clothing to go across the genders. He says it is an abomination. Or he speaks even about being soft. That a man would be soft. That a man would be feminine. That is the iniquity. That is the perversion. Of course, he talks about homosexuality. A man with a man. A woman with a woman. The Lord calls it abomination. That is a disgusting thing. That is, in the eyes of the Lord, it is all depraved. It is all wrong. It is all a twisting of the institutions of the Lord. Is there hope for such a people? Paul describes these sins. He describes these sins to the Corinthians. You know what he says to them? He says, such were some of you. Such were some of you. But he says, you are not anymore. Let us sing. Psalter 23, 1, 2, and 3. The God who sits enthroned on high, and the foolish in their heart deny. Not one does good corrupt in thought. Unrighteous works their hands have wrought. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 23. forgiving iniquity, forgiving of own, is the congregation not a wonder? Paul says, such were some of you. But, he says, ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Say, Paul says that. Where does Paul get that from? Does that come from Paul himself? Oh, no. But this is who the Lord has declared himself to be. Already so many years before, Moses had to go up that mount. And when Moses had to appear as a representative of the people before God, and where God declared his own name, and where God declared who that he was, and when he made known unto Moses who he was, then he says, forgiving of own, forgiving iniquities, forgiving depravity, forgiving all the twisting, all the corruption that he does find in his people. Forgiving iniquity. And we do not want to speak today about what forgiveness is. We hope to do that, the Lord willing, in the future. But today, just this one thing. This is now one of the things, because the Lord says, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That is three things. There are three words, and they all are sin, but they all point to something different. And what does the Lord declare here? He says, forgiving iniquity, forgiving perversion. Do you know what David said? He said, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark avon, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, if thou shouldest mark perversion, who, O Lord, shall stand? Who? That is what David said. There is not one person in the whole world that can stand before God if he would mark and look at the depravity of our hearts. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever mourn for that? Do you know what David says? He says, I was shapen in avon. I was shapen in depravity. Says it did not start when I became older. Fathers and mothers, you have a little infant child, a new infant child, all shapen from the very, very beginning, shapen in iniquity. He says it is not a single act. It's not just something that I have done. No, he says I was shapen in it. He said, it's my whole being. It is my whole existence. And everywhere I would go and every stone that I would turn over in my heart, then I find that same perversion living in my heart. It is not only what we do. It is who we are. It is what we have become. Through our deep fall, Satan has led, that is true. The fall lies with us because we have willingly followed and we continue to willingly follow. And thus, when we are born, We are born congregation in the state of iniquity, in the state of perversion, in the state of depravity. Absalom said to Joab, "Why may I not come before the king?" He wanted to come before David, his father. He says, "Let me see the king's face. And if there be any avown in me, if there be any perversity in me, any twisting, let him kill me. Let him kill me." And what was in his heart, young people? What was in his heart? Why did he want to see his father again? Yeah, there was avon, wasn't there? Oh, what a thing that he said, knowing all the while within himself. And the Lord knew it. And the Lord did not need poor David to execute his justice, because there is no perversion, there is no iniquity in God. And he could carry out in his own way, and he could spare David, his dear child, in whom also lay of all. But the Lord spared David. Oh, what lives, congregation, within our hearts? What lives in our hearts even against the Lord? What do we say of the Lord? Do you say that sometimes, young and old, the Lord is hard? The Lord is hard. Election. Predestination. Still he finds fault with me. How could I help it? What Adam did. Who has never had such a thought. And is it true? Is the Lord hard? Or is the Lord good? And is he not full of compassion? But in our hearts, there is a twisting. A twisting of the truth. There is avon. It is iniquity. It is perversion. It is depravity. All of our thoughts is always to take the blame, to cast it somewhere else. And that is avon. I cast it upon the Lord. I cast it upon my neighbor. I cast it upon Adam. But I never take it upon myself. And that is the lie. That is the lie that we live. In this our day, as we go over this world, what does the Lord say? Only acknowledge thine avon. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Only acknowledge. Oh, that is not what we do. It is not what we do by nature. And why don't we do that? We don't do that because we love our iniquities. We love it. We love our perversions. We do not love the Lord. We do not love what is right. But we love our sins. Why would we want to acknowledge them? Because if I acknowledge them, that means I need to turn away from them, but I love them and I do not want to turn away from them. And then, what beauty, what preciousness do we see in the Savior? Oh, we see no form in Him. We see no comeliness in Him. Because to love Him means I must hate my own. I must hate my depravity. I must hate my life here in this world. And I don't want to leave my life here in this world. Do you know what the Lord said to Isaiah? He says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your perversity has made a separation between you and God. What do you think of that? Did that ever break your heart? Oh, did you ever in your life desire that you might come back to God? Did you ever say, oh Lord, where art thou? Did you ever say, Lord, wilt thou come unto me? Lord, wilt thou speak unto my soul? Oh, why art thou so far from me? And from the words of my roaring. And now the Lord says why. He says, what makes the separation? Of all. It is your depravity. I cannot live with that. Because I am holy. There can no one come that up that mount. I cannot dwell with such perversity that is living within your heart. Oh, did that ever touch your heart? No, that is not God's fault. That is our own fault. David says, how many are my iniquities? How many are my perversions? The Israelites said, as for our avon, we know them. Mine iniquities, David says, they go over mine head as a heavy burden, he says. They are too heavy for me. All my perversions. Oh, David felt them. He says, they are more than the hairs of my head. Can you count the hairs of your head, boys and girls? You try to do that. You count the hairs of your head. You say, there are so many. And that is what David said of his own perversions. Forgiving of own. That is what the Lord declares of Himself. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Is that suitable for you? That He would forgive of own? It became suitable to Saul of Tarsus. He perverted everything. The very truth of God. Even his religion. All his religion. He thought it was all right. And it was all wrong. The truth, he turned it into a lie. Into a lie. Oh, the Lord, 3 days he mourned. That was short. That was very short. 3 days he mourned. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And what did the Lord show him? Did he show him more of his sin? No. No, not now anymore. The Lord says for Saul, it is enough. It is enough. A broken heart and a contrite spirit, the Lord does not despise. But then the Lord showed him himself. Forgiving iniquities. Then the Lord showed him his only begotten Son. And what did he see in his Son? Oh, he saw in his Son how that all the depravity, all the iniquity, the Lord is able to take away. Oh, he saw the reason that he had to hang there upon that cursed tree, not for his own sin, because there was no perversion in him. There was no iniquity in him. It was all true. It was all upright, though he was accused of falsehood, though he was accused of transgression. It was all a twisting. No. All the rest of his life, Paul confessed. What did he confess? Oh, he says, I. What have I done? I've turned it all upside down. Everything. All that is the way he lived to the end of his life. To the end of his life, I turned it all upside down. And the Lord made it right. Forgiving iniquities. Aaron was commanded to lay his hands on a goat, both of his hands, and he had to confess the avon, all the depravities of the children of Israel, over that goat. And then that goat had to be taken away. And it was brought into the wilderness where there was no man. And that goat was to be taken far enough away that it would never return. Oh, that was such a beautiful picture for the children of Israel. For the children of Israel. For whom? Oh, there were those there. They mourned. They mourned for Avon. Their iniquities, all the depravities of their heart. And now for their people, oh, when they may see that, when they may see that, all that confessed upon that goat, and then that man taking it away, then their people have melted inside the doors of their tents before the Lord, when the Lord did declare unto them, forgiving iniquities. O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. That thou mayest be feared. Do you desire that? To fear the Lord, to depart from iniquity, that you may be delivered from corruption. Or do you say, young people, if I could have that, then I'd have everything. When there would be no more sin, when there would be no more depravity. That is coming for that church that will not be attained yet here below. But it is coming for his people. David had to smart for his sin. He had to smart for his sin. Because Nathan, he brought him the word of the Lord. that the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. And then David, he folded his hands and he closed his eyes and he bent his knees for the child. And he supplicated that the Lord may spare the child. And the Lord said no. The Lord said no. You will not have the pleasure of the child, David, while you're here upon this world, that I remove from you. We have sometimes so too smart for our own iniquity. But there was something that the Lord answered. And what was that? That was the supplication of David. What did he say? Oh, he says, wash me. Wash me from all mine iniquities, from all my avowal, from all my depravity. And the Lord answered him, forgiving avowal. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, open unto us our sin. For thy great goodness and thy compassion and thy mercy and thy grace that is so high over against who that we are in thy most holy sight, wilt thou then forgive all of our iniquities, and wilt thou turn us from them, that we may walk in that new and holy life. Do dismiss us now with thy blessing, that thy word may go after, and that thy spirit may bring it in our hearts, because we need the plowing of the fallow ground, that there may be room for thy dear Son, the Savior of sinners. Do it then, Lord, for thy name's sake. Help us each one in the labors of our hands in this week. And wilt thou be with us when we gather in thy house and with the family and for the wedding. Care for all that need thee in special ways. Remember those that live their life alone and help them. Forgive all of our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 143, 1, 2, and 3. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me in thy abounding love. Blot out all my iniquity. 1, 2, and 3 of 143. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.